Some of you probably aren't familiar with the characters. Some of you probably, cool, Star Wars. Caleb, can you turn me down a little bit on lapel? I think I'm a little loud. So, probably wondering, what does that have to do with prayer? Everything. Did you not find it odd that young Luke Skywalker, who was no longer so young, got so upset that Yoda burned the books that he was already getting ready to burn? Did you find it not weird that he attempted to go rushing into a burning tree to save a bunch of books that he never had actually read? Did you not find it interesting that when he referenced them, he called them sacred texts, not important texts? You see, the truth is that Skywalker's religion had become just that. He had moved himself to an island and had stopped trusting anything. In his faith had come nothing more than just a pile of old books that just feel good to have them sitting around. He never actually put them into practice. Because to put him into practice, that means that he would have to get involved in other people's lives. And man, that's just too messy. So we're continuing down this 40 days of prayer, and that video becomes important because today it's time to put the books away. Remember, I told you we started this sermon series, and I told you that Google had hundreds of thousands, I mean, that Amazon had hundreds of thousands of books out there. Google had millions of pages out there, all referencing this topic of prayer. And you know what? Not a single one of them are going to do you any good at this point. Because you know why? You already have everything you need to know. You know everything you need to know to pray. I mean, you don't have to have another single lesson on what it means to pray. You're probably thinking, well, why are we going to do three more sermons? Well, these are reminders to maybe help you refocus on what you already know. Because you already have all of the tools and the weapons and the words that you need. So this morning, as we get past the midpoint in this 40 days of prayer, we're going to start off by looking at seven things we want to incorporate into our daily prayer life. Don't lose that word. Daily. This is not something that we're going to do on a weekly basis. It should be a daily thing. And it begins with this verse in Ephesians chapter 6, 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all of the Lord's people. So the seven things that you need to remember, pray in the Spirit. Make sure that God is leading your prayer life, not you. All occasions. You know what? There is no bad time to pray. Now, there are some bad times to pray with your eyes shut, okay? Like when you're driving a car, not a good time to drive with pray with your eyes shut, but there is no bad time to pray. With all kinds of prayers, you understand there is no right way to pray. I know what you've been taught all of your life, that you know you're supposed to sit in reverence with your hands folded. Really? Go read the Old Testament. That wasn't the preferred position. Understand, there is no right or wrong way to do this thing called prayer as long as you are talking to God. And requests. There are no things that are off limits to talk about. It doesn't have to just be about your religion, about your faith, or about an illness, or about sick. Everything is fair game. Anything that you want to talk about to God, you can talk to God about. That's amazing. Be alert. This prayer thing requires that we pay attention because you never can know when God is going to throw something out there he is asking you to pray for. You have to walk around almost with your head on a swivel. Paul says that as Christians, we're supposed to walk circumspectly. I love that word. It's fun to say, and I can actually say it. I can't spell it. But you can walk circumspectly. It means you're aware of all of the things that are going on around you. You're always alert to what God is asking you to do. And by the way, we're supposed to pray for all people. That means everybody. That means the person sitting next to you, even if right now maybe you don't like them or maybe you do like them. It means that the person on the side of the road. It means that neighbor that sometimes can be annoying. It means the person that plays their music too loud. It means the kid that walks down the street that maybe sometimes, you know, what is he up to? We're supposed to be praying for everybody. Everybody and anybody. It's not some specific list that you have to make some kind of requirement to be prayed for. Everybody should be prayed for. So we're going to move to two habits, I mean from seven things to incorporate to two habits that, and there's our word again, you're seeing this word a lot over the back part of this year, must. These are not optional. These are not things that we can sometimes do, that we can think about, or that we can go pray about. These are just things you have to do. The first thing is you have to keep a running conversation with God. Everybody always says, how do you start and stop prayer? You don't. I mean, how do I start and stop a conversation with anybody else? I don't. You know, sometimes we say hello and we say goodbye, but you understand when we say goodbye, we're not actually stopping the conversation. We're just stopping that iteration because the hope is I'm going to come back around and we're going to have another conversation. You see, this idea is just has to be a running conversation with God. And by the way, while you're having a running conversation, there are some things, there's some value to scheduled prayer times throughout my day. Now, I realize what most of us are going to think. That means you're telling me to pray at breakfast, lunch, dinner, bedtime. Okay, there's schedule. No. Yeah, mealtime is a good time, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But you get the idea that we are going to schedule our day around this concept of prayer. You see, maybe you didn't know this, but clocks were created to remind us in prayer, to remind us to pray. For thousands of years, Jews said their prayers at set times. Daniel knelt three times a day. In Roman cities, that's when the early church was being formed, the bell in the forum rang five times a day, 6 a.m., 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and 6 p.m. Soon Christians started using bells for prayer times. Therefore, monks and priests began to incorporate bells into church buildings to remind people it was time to pray. The old Latin word for bell is spelled C-L-O-C, where we get our word clock. Thus, if you really think about it, the idea of a clock for a Christian was designed to teach you to remember to pray. Now, you think about how often you look at a clock during the day, whether it be on your phone, on the wall, on the little right-hand corner of your computer. You realize every time you see a clock, maybe it's time to remember to pray. See, this idea of prayer actually is mentioned a lot in Psalms. Take a look at this verse, Psalm 119, 164. Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous laws. Seven times a day. Now, let's be honest. I'm going to tell you, I'm lucky if I can fit breakfast, lunch, dinner, and bedtime. Usually going to work, going up the road, praying. I pray. But even that got shorter. That used to be 45 minutes going to Charlottesville. Now that's like a 15-minute thing coming up to Stanton. I have a hard time with this prayer idea and trying to fit it into my schedule. But maybe that's the problem. I'm trying to fit prayer into my schedule, not fit my schedule into my prayer. So this morning, we're going to take a look at a daily prayer schedule, and we're going to wrap this thing all around this thing that we call the Lord's Prayer. Now, all the way back at the beginning of the year, remember, we did a prayer series where we broke down the Lord's Prayer, and I kind of used it as an instruction manual on how you were to design a prayer. The cool thing is, when you look at the Lord's Prayer, it can be used for a lot of different things. And believe it or not, it makes a very, very, very good schedule for learning how to do this thing on a daily basis. So the first thing that we are to do, our daily prayer schedule, is with our Father, we need to get up with gratitude. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 says, "Do not be like them, for your Father knows you and what you need before you ask him." That means that we have a Father that is caring. We have a Father that is consistent. We have a Father that is close. And we have a Father that is capable. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Who does not change like the shifting of shadows?" You see, the whole idea of this thing of getting up and starting out with gratitude is starting your day with thanksgiving. No turkey required. Okay? This is the idea that we want to get up and we want to set the tone with gratitude, not with grumbling, griping, groaning, growling, or even grunting, which is how most of us start our day. that alarm clock goes off and it's like, How about we start it off with gratitude? You realize the moment the alarm goes off and you suck in your first realistic breath for the day, you get it? You've made it to another day and God has given you another gift to go and use. You see, even doctors understand the healthiest human emotion is gratitude, that of appreciation. Why do we maybe have so many health problems in our society? Because we spend way too much time being negative, being a downer, looking at the things I don't have, not focused on the things God has given me. So this whole idea is when I pop up out of bed and the alarm clock goes off, then set up and maybe it's time that you start being grateful that God has given you yet another day. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did not receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? You see, this idea that God has already given you everything. When you wake up this morning, you had so much to be grateful for. You had a roof over your head. You had a car in your driveway, most of us. You had friends that were waiting for you at church. And you know what? Most importantly, God was there. So why are you grumbling and complaining? I mean, you've got everything you need. And then after you get yourself out the bed and you wake yourself up a little bit, we're going to head down to breakfast and we're going to bless God's name at breakfast. Now, to bless means to honor, give respect, or praise. It is the word that we get adoration from. In the Lord's Prayer, it starts off with this idea of hallowed be your name. And we spent a whole sermon discussing that. So if you want to talk about hallowed be your name, go check the archives. You can go pick that up. Hallowed be your name. But yet, here's what I do want you to get. This is not a Sunday event. If you're waiting to worship God until you get here on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., it is no wonder your prayer life is stuck in the mud. Because prayer is a big part of worship, but worship is also a big part of prayer. This is what it says in Psalm chapter 145, verse 2. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Did you know God's name? God's name was praised about 80 times in Psalms alone. Now you wonder, what's the big idea about God's name? Well, in the Bible, remember, your name had something to do with your character. They named you based on something that was out there around you. So God reveals his name 100 different ways in Scripture. No, we're not doing a sermon series of all the names of God. We'll be here for quite a few years. But let me just hit the highlights for you. God says, I am. Let's add some context to that. God says, I am your loving Father. God says, I am El Dea, which is, I am the God who loves you and knows everything. God says, I am Jehovah Rapha, which I am God who heals you. God says, I am El Shaddai, as the Almighty God with all the power that you need. By the way, Bud and Patty experienced power this week. They had a lightning bolt come down. You do realize that doesn't even begin to put the scope on how much power God has. And just go look. You can go to Bud's house and look at the tree that stood and the one that got struck. You can see the power in that bolt. It's not even a beginning of where they are. He says, I am Jehovah Jireh. I am your provider. He says, I am Jehovah Shalom. I am your peace. See, all of these names of God, you can just take the names and just start reading them. And now you've got something that you can bless God for what he does for your life. So we've gotten up with gratitude. We've praised his name. And now I am at the mid-morning, and you know what? This is that tough time of the morning. This would be between 8 and 10, depending on where your day starts. Okay, some people that get up really early, maybe your mid-morning is like 5. I don't know. I hope not. I will never have that kind of schedule again. But you get where you're at this point, right? This is where you're starting your work. This is where you're getting into the bulk of your day. And as you start your work, it is so easy to get distracted by busy. I come in usually to hundreds of emails that came from overseas over the night, and I have to fish through all of these emails. And on top of that, you've got other people that are clamoring, and you've got meeting notices that are popping up, and you've got things that you've got to get done. I don't have time to pray. Really? Then maybe you just want to be a few minutes earlier to work and take time to pray. Take time to start your day. Don't forget your priorities. Your priority is prayer, not the pile of work on your desk. You know what I kind of learned? I tell my people and my teams all this time, when it comes to work, they're no more valuable than chains and potato chips. You know how I know? Because if I leave chips on my desk, somebody would steal them when I had an office. If I left chains on my desk, somebody would steal them when I had an office. If I left work on my desk, nobody ever stole it. Therefore, I must realize that the chains and chips are more valuable people than my work. If I put that in front of prayer, what does that say about God's value to me? You see, this idea that I'm not supposed to get my priorities, I'm not supposed to lose focus and miss the big perspective. Pause and pray. Now, I'm not asking you to get on your knees, and I'm not asking you to have this big, long prayer. Just start your work day with prayer. It's really simple. It's not that hard. Just maybe thank God for your job. That would maybe serve some of us very well if we just remember, God bless you with this job. Sometimes I think it's a curse, but God bless you with it. God's purpose is his kingdom. So as you're beginning to do this little prayer exercise and you begin to look at God's kingdom, don't forget the fact, I'm turning too many pages at a time, don't forget the fact that his kingdom says, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If you seek first God's kingdom and your righteousness, God and righteousness, he will give all. And all the things will be added to you as well. When you begin your time of prayer, you're sitting here amongst all of these people. They're all around you, your co-workers. What a great opportunity for you to begin to look around and look at the potential subjects for the kingdom. That person next door that's snuffling and sneezing, you're thinking they should have stayed home because they got a cold. You realize their cold needs praying for. And maybe they don't have a God that they pray to. You get the idea here is that we can pray for anybody and everybody around us at this point. We can begin to thank God for our co-workers. And maybe that would change my perspective. So I've worked the first part of my morning, and it's lunchtime. And it's time to list my needs at lunch. Now, this is the easy part because you're already sitting down to eat. Remember I told you we can incorporate mealtime into it? Okay, most of us are sitting down to eat. Some of us still don't actually get a lunchtime. We're chasing our other work, and lunch has become working lunches. Okay, we do that at work now. We actually take our little bags, and we sit in front of computers, or we're still chasing kids or whatever we do, and we don't actually get a lunch break. But let me encourage you, take a moment to begin to list your needs. Odds are, if you're having food, you're probably already saying some kind of prayer for the food anyway. So you've already got a good start here. Give us today our daily bread is your prayer. Now, this is important because bread represents everything you need to live. That's where it comes from in culture. Now, this is not monthly bread. Okay, don't pray for day-old bread. If you take bread and you store it away for a month and you go back to eat in about a month, what do you have? Mold, or at least, at the very least, stale. So the concept is only pray for what you need today. Now, your day is already about half over. So you're really only praying for what you need to make it through the rest of the day at work and when you get home. So we're just going to list our needs, and that means we can ask for anything. Now the good news is you're on a clock here. Lunchtime, none of us gets infinite lunch, so that means that you're going to have to focus on only the important things. Because you got to save time to eat too. So you can make your little list of things that you need for the rest of the day, mention them to God, eat your lunch. And by the way, don't forget the phrase is, give us our daily bread. Don't just pray for your needs. Maybe this is a point at which you look around and that person sitting at the table next to you, they've got some needs too. So maybe you should begin to pray for other people. And you probably think, I'm going to need a longer lunchtime. Again, we're not asking you to do like big oratory prayers. You can look around as you're eating your lunch and say, wow, I see that person. Maybe it's the first time you've ever saw them. I mean, really saw them. And now you realize, you know what? I can pray for them too as I'm eating. God doesn't mind if you pray and eat at the same time. Really, he doesn't. Take a look at the early church. They did it all the time. They had meals, and they prayed as they were eating. Wouldn't that be awesome? Totally different idea for a prayer lunch there. So I'm done my day, and I'm headed home, and maybe now it's time to ask for forgiveness in the afternoon. Now, just so you know, you're probably thinking, I'm Barry, this is going to take a long, long time for me to ask for forgiveness. Well, this doesn't have to take long. Of course, neither does taking out the trash, but it's something that everybody does. I mean, really, how long does it take you to empty a trash can at home? Just a few minutes. You just take it out to the bigger trash can and you dump it in that, right? Understanding that's exactly what we're asking you to do. You take the things that are struggling in your life, your trash, take them out to the dumpster. Now, where's the dumpster? Your prayer life. Take them out and lay them before God. It says, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. See, the idea is I own up to my own actions and reactions. This is the point of my day. I can look back at the things I've already done. It's probably somewhere between 3 and 5 o'clock, depending on where your day started. I can now look at my day and I can say, man, I really blew that. I really blew that. God, can you please help me in this area? I've got a list of things that are fresh on my mind that are going there. I can admit my sins, and I can forgive those who have frustrated me. And just so you know, that can be a long list because I can become a very frustrated person. But you understand what I'm doing now, right? As I am talking about the people that frustrated me to God, you know what God's telling me? Move on. I got it. I'm allowing God to take my day, and I'm unwinding my day before God. That's one of the things I do miss about coming back from Charlottesville. I had a 45-minute window to sit there, and me and God could just chat about my day on my way home. It makes all the difference in the world. So as you're doing this, then I acknowledge my sin, and you to you, and did not cover up my iniquity. So don't hold back. God already knows anyway. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. You know what I've just done, don't you? I've just given you the ability to just leave your day where it needs to be. Because it's forgiven. If you give it to God on the way home, then you don't have to drag the baggage in with you. I'm guilty of this. I drag my dirty day home with me. You know where I usually want to unload it? Right when I walk in the door. That's where I want to unload it. And man, that causes all kind of problems in my life. Maybe if I would sometimes just take a moment, stop, and let's unload before I get there. Well, who am I going to unload to? That's what prayer is about. Unload it to God. He can take it, I promise you. He knows all about it. He's good. So I'm finally home, and this is me, by the way. Well, not really, I don't have, my hair is not that long anymore. But I'm home, and it's time to pray to God and ask Him for some decision making. This is what it says as I get home. It says to ask God to help me make wise decisions and protect me from the dumb ones that I make. You know, we're told that there is no temptation that God can't deal with. And you know what Jesus tells us here that in the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation. You know what I find out? This is my hardest time of temptation for the day. Let me explain to you how it works. I got up in the morning, got the kids on the bus, we got everybody out the door, I went to work, I spent my entire day listening to people grumble and complain and gripe and be overworked. Then I come home and I'm just exhausted, and we get dinner ready and we sit down in front of the TV. See what happens is I begin to open my window. I flip on the TV, or I get in front of the computer, or one of the other multiple of many devices that I've got in my life, and you realize I'm now opening a window. And I've opened that window during my weakest point because I'm all ground down. And you know who else is standing by that window? There he is, the tempter. And he's going to start bombarding my tired mind with all of those images and things because he understands my resistance is at its weakest. I'm at my lowest point of my day at this point because I'm tired. So before I open that window, maybe this would be a really, really, really good time to open a communication line with God and begin to pray about my day. Again, not a long prayer. I mean, I've already been doing this all day long. But now I'm to the point that before I flip on the tube, maybe I need to flip on the prayer life. You see, God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken us, has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he can also provide a way out so that you can endure it. You see, God does not promise that there will never be a temptation. Matter of fact, he promises just the opposite. See, what is common to man, those things right there in front of me, it's always going to be there for me to reach out, stretch, and take. The problem is that I'm trying to take it all on my own. Did you catch the second part of that verse? He will provide a way out. You see, this whole temptation thing will be a lot easier if I stop trying to do it by myself. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Oh, so prayer is supposed to be a learning process? Absolutely. You can learn a whole bunch by praying to God and then waiting for him to answer you back. But you understand, when I'm always in those track meet prayers where I have to say hello, God, and goodbye, and I only have 30 seconds, I don't have time for this. God has no time to answer you. You've just kind of thrown up a prayer, and you have no idea whether God even heard what you said, because you know what? You're just moving way too fast. He says, "Take my yoke, learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That day when I want to just plop in that reclining chair, okay, plop it in there. That's a good place to pray. But you know what? The question is what are you doing with that time? Are you using that time wisely? So I'm at the end of my day, and I'm going to end my day with encouraging truth. It's a little benediction. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, just so you know, if you're using the NIV translation of the Bible, you will not find this phrase. As a matter of fact, the only ones that you really find it in are the King James and the New King James. Because most agree this little phrase was not part of the original text. It was something that was added as an emphasis because it came from something the early church was doing. But even though it's not part of the original text, there are some very big truths that I can end my day with. I can end my day with this idea that God's in control. So as I'm going to bed tonight, and I'm going to close my eyes, and I'm going to turn off my mind, and I'm going to try to get some rest, you know what? Just because I'm asleep doesn't mean the world is going to fall apart. Next day, the sun will probably still come up. You know why? Because I'm not in control of the sun. God's in control of it. This is not the end of the story. When I read that, you understand God is eternal. So this one day, whether I was good at it or bad at it, whether I succeeded at it or I failed at it, this day does not define my entire story. Because I have tomorrow that I can also use toward God. God and his family win in the end. We need to remember that. The ending of the story is already written. We already know God's in control of all of this. We already know heaven is definitely for real. We already know that Jesus has got everything in control. He's got the entire plan. So we've already won, so I can then fall asleep with my mind at ease. I can begin to let it all just kind of go. Now, you're probably thinking, "Barry, is this how you pray?" No. I'd love to tell you I did. I'm going to give it a couple tries and see if we can try to rebuild my prayer life around the model that looks like this. That get up with gratitude is going to be the hardest part because I'm a track meet guy. I get up and I'm gone usually. We have way much to do. But you know what? Your get up with gratitude can just be a get up, and before you say anything else, just say, "Thank you, God." It doesn't have to be big. But you just remember, you've got a new day to do the things that God gave you. This idea of the Lord's Prayer, it's not a pattern for praying, it's a pattern for living. You know, I mentioned the fact that Luke had kind of dropped out of that video clip I showed you at the beginning. Luke had kind of dropped out of society. As a matter of fact, you know what he had done? He had moved to a distant planet on a distant island, and he had wrapped himself around in a nice little safe cocoon, and he was no longer doing anything. The lightsaber had been packed away and was getting dusty, and you know what? He really wasn't doing his meditations like he was supposed to do. It had just become a drudgery. And I think sometimes prayer gets to that point for us. It's just a drudgery. It's just that thing I have to do because I want to be a good Christian. Let me encourage you not to take that attitude toward prayer. You see, Jesus gave us this prayer, this Lord's Prayer, this instruction manual in the response to, "Lord, teach us to pray." That's when he gave us this. What he really gave was a pattern to teach us to live. Because if I take the Lord's Prayer and I divide it up into its parts and I take every single piece and I begin living it piece by piece, then you know what's going to happen? My day is going to change. My attitude is going to change. I'm no longer looking at the dusty old books that are 2,000 years old wondering, God, what on earth does this book have to do with 2019? I mean, half of these things, I don't even understand the these, thous, and those in it, and all of these begattings, I can't even pronounce those names, and these lands, they don't even exist anymore. You understand it isn't about this sacred text, it's about the important text. The idea that God does give information and instruction, but the information and instruction isn't for reading, it's for living. See, really what Jesus was after was this idea of living prayer. Now that's an interesting concept, right? I am living my life for my opportunities to go and talk to God. How much would your life change if you did that? I can answer for you, drastically. And that includes me. If I would actually figure out how to do this idea of living prayer, it's another game changer. You see, it's time. You cannot learn to pray unless you learn to pray. I'm going to tell you, you can't learn to pray from a book. You can't do it. Any more than you can learn to cook from a book. It is true, you can learn recipes from a book, but how many people here eat recipes? You don't. What do? You take the recipe, you make the list of ingredients, you go to the store or wherever you get your ingredients, you buy your ingredients, you come back to your house, and you prepare the dish. You don't eat the recipe, you eat the dish. You see, that's the problem. I think a lot of us are praying like it's a recipe. I got to do this, do that, checked all the boxes, and you know what? We've never gotten in the kitchen. We've never went and got the ingredients. And so this whole prayer thing doesn't make sense to us.